And a one, and a two, and welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode, and did I get the number right? I don't know. I think it's 135 now. Isn't it? Yes, it is. My bad. 135. I did not change my notes. So professional. Okay, here we go. Spotlight on DC Comics Forever Evil, number 6. I am Chris Mosby.
And I am Caleb Gerard.
And I'm Murray Fox.
And before we get too much into it, I apologize for last week's episode being cut short. As I said at the end of the little recording, Mom had to go to the hospital. She's out of the hospital now, and she seems a lot better and resting comfortably and all that good stuff. So, with that out of the way, we'll be talking about Forever Evil number 6, but before that, we're going to Justice League number 28, which ties in a little bit, a little cyborg action, and we see the 52 version of the Metal Men, which I kind of liked.
Humanity's only hope.
Apparently so. I like the take on it.
All
right. Well, but anyway, it was just something different, new, and you know, things like that. Yes, yes. Jeff Johns, Ivan Rice, and Joe Prado, and Scott Hanna. So, who wants to do that?
I'll grab this one.
Murray, this is such your ballywick, man. It's there metal.
I'll take it.
All right.
I kind of liked it. I liked it. Anyway, we'll get into it.
I think you liked
so,
it.
So, I kind of liked it. Victor Stone has made his way all the way across the United States to Adelphi, Maryland, where he's at the United States Army Research Lab, and he has come to visit Dr. Will Magnus. This is probably the only thing I would have changed. I would have liked to have seen Will Magnus be older. Mm. I like the idea of him being an older scientist.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a big deal. It's not a big change, but it seems like everyone in the DC universe is like 20-something.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And he is one more 20-something. He seems almost even younger than Victor, maybe, which...
Yeah, I got the... Whatever. When they talk about his origin a bit, I got the idea that he might be a... one of those child geniuses.
Yeah. Either way, I mean, I would have...
He is not that old. He's only a corporal, it looks like, in the...
That's a sergeant rank, but I don't think he's an actual soldier. I think he's just wearing that.
Is that sergeant? I mean, it doesn't have the... it has the three on the top and not the bottom.
Yeah, so there's, you know, staff sergeant, master sergeant. So,
oh, okay.
So it's just plain Sarge.
All right. My bad.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you for clearing that up for me.
Yeah, I do know a little bit about that. I was almost in the military myself.
Wow, well. The dude's not wearing a Mountie cap. I don't know nothing about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the fact that he's got his sleeves rolled up and he looks like he's wearing jeans and it's not buttoned up, I don't think he's really a soldier. He must have got that off of somebody. And who knows, that might be some half-assed homage to Sergeant Rock that I'm just not grasping at the moment, but... Anyway.
Alrighty. So, Cyborg comes and he asks Will to rebuild the Metal Men, and Will says, no, I can't do it. I won't do it. I'm not having anything to do with it.
I won't. You can't make me.
You can't make me. I know. That's pretty much it. Cyborg explains like the very seriousness of it. But, and he says, you know, the grid is this big. It's the first artificial intelligence. And Will says, no, it's not the first. I did this years ago. Blah, blah, blah.
Which was a very Will Magnus thing to say, by the way.
Yeah. He's like, yeah.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, he says, you might have been the very first cyborg, but the robots I created 6 months ago were the very first sentient androids. And Cyborg asks what happened to the Metal Men, And
incoming transmission.
Oh, my bad. Sorry, I didn't mute my phone.
And,
it happens at work all the time, and I get all kinds of crap about it. Anyway, go ahead.
That's all right. Cyborg wondered if the Metal Man had to be deactivated because they wanted to take over humanity. And Will says, no, it was nothing like that. It's much, much worse. And then we go into flashback mode, and we see the army in the lab there, and they've given Will Magnus a lot of leeway to create these robots. And he is not really being particularly forthcoming with his research. He's kind of locked himself up in the lab, put up a little note that says no humans allowed except for Will. You can talk to him through the door, text him or phone him, but he doesn't really want to do like the face-to-face thing. And he's telling the army, I'm not opening the door to you yet, so there you go. And
the Secretary of Defense is he's trying to get in, and he's telling him, no.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing it.
Have we ever met either of these characters anywhere before?
No. Uh-uh.
I don't think so.
Completely, I haven't seen anything. And that uniform is a little off. Looks more like a Navy uniform than a...
It's Ash blue. Is a chick. What are you going to do?
Yeah, it's more of a Navy Admiral's uniform than a General, but hey, whatever. It is an alternate universe, after all.
That's right. Yeah. So Will goes back into his lab and he goes to work on his robots, and he's just saying the problem with everything is people. Robots are the answers. Sounds like he's had a rough life. He's had a rough life, and you know, that's just the way it is. You can't rely on people. You can rely on robots. And we are introduced to the six responsometers. I never know how to say that. I think the first time I read it, I say responsometer, and then the next time I say it, I say responsometer. Anyway, it's like the heart of the Metal Men. You put.
I always say responsometer. It kind of helped in this particular panel where it was hyphenated.
Yes.
Yeah.
Responsometers. There you go. It's like the Metal Man's heart. So he puts it in, turns it on, gives him a zap of electricity, and we get some science jibber jabber explaining how it works. Yeah, but really, it doesn't matter. I mean, you drop the responsometer into a blob of metal, and it bonds with the metal, and then it forms a robot.
And it never, so we've got... it never, ever, ever made sense to me. It was this solid piece, and it's comic book science. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Mercury is a liquid character, and mm-hmm. yet responsometer, never goes away. It's still part of him. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just saying. So, go ahead.
Yeah. We get the robots come out, and we're introduced to all of them, and they slowly, it's kind of neat. Like, they look, to start with, they all look very similar, and then they start to take on their own characteristics that are based on their metal.
Like,
so gold is gold is very vain, and the leader, because he's so beautiful.
Yeah, because before, gold was kind of like iron and lead, wasn't he?
Well, the three of them kind of, yeah, like originally Tina had a very strong personality because she was the flirty one, and mm-hmm. Tin was the wimpy little goofball, and Mercury was the hothead, but the other three
mm-hmm.
tended to kind of blend together, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
My memory, Gold was always like the stand-up guy.
Yeah, yeah. He was always the leader, for sure.
Not even the leader, but just more of the, we're going to fight crime, we're going to do right, but not like this. Not like being in charge, just like, this is what we should be doing. That was mm-hmm. his personality trait. Right. In my memory, it's been the last time I read Metal Men was in that newspaper one that they did.
The terrible one. I hated that so much.
Did you? I don't think I messed with it.
I didn't care for it. Of course, I never really read it that much before, so maybe that's what it was.
What was that newspaper one that DC did? I'm sorry.
Wednesday Comics.
Thank you. Sorry. Yep. Okay, go ahead, Murray.
Alrighty, so they all take on their personality, their characteristics. Mm-hmm. And Tin is still the shy, timid one, and Lead is slow. Slow but strong. And Iron seems to be the big, strong bruiser dude, and Mercury continues to be the hothead. I kind of like that he's a hothead who is all into robot rights.
Yeah, it's a different one. It's slightly different.
A little different, yeah, but it's basically him. And then, of course, Platinum comes out, and we get a sexy shot of her butt and her sexy little foot end. And here she is. They're all taking on their shapes, and we get a big splash page of the Metal Man standing there. And Will is surprised that they have taken on so much of the characteristics of their particular metal. I don't think he was expecting that. But he's kind of down with it. And he attempts to give them commands and tell them what to do, and they don't really work that way, he has found. He asks Mercury to do something, form a sphere, and Mercury's like, what? Why are you talking so slowly? What's going on here? What, like, they're not really into the taking of the orders. They very quickly decided that they're their own person. They have their own personality there. Will explains that they're all programmed to follow two rules, which are, he doesn't really get to it right away, because they're all interrupting. They're all talking, which is, you know, what they do. What they do, and Gold tells him, you know, if you want the Metal Men to do something, you tell me, I'll tell them. I'm kind of the leader, you know. And Tina's like, no one voted you the leader. And Mercury is having none of it because...
Yes. Viva la Revolution!
That's right. Viva la Robot Revolution. Excellent. Anyway, they're just... Will is like over his head. He's like, what? You can't have personalities. None of you can feel. None of you can love. You're robots. Mm-hmm. And... when he says that, they're all kind of shocked. They're like, well, we can feel. You made us this way. And he said, look, I just meant that's not the way you're supposed to be. But before they can go any further, the door has exploded. The army comes busting in. And Will is horrified that someone could have been killed. But... the Metal Men they've gone kind of dormant. They've taken on very nondescript images and shapes so that they look like traditional robots, just different colors, for the benefit, I guess, of the army dude. Mm-hmm. And he's excited that they're functional because he's like, well, that's great. We've got a field test. We've got to send them off to Kandok. We've got we've already got someone ready for them to eliminate. And Will is like, hold it, these were for search and rescue robots. These are not military weapons. And the army's like, well, we paid for them. We can do what we want with them. So that's what you agreed to, Dr. Magnus. And once the Metal Men hear that, they jump into their regular shapes and they say, yeah, we're not really doing this. We're not killing anyone. And they just run out. They escape. They run away. And... the army tells Will to order them right back, and he's like, I can't. Even if I could, I wouldn't, since you just want to use them for killing machines. I'm not doing that. So they run off, and Will just goes back to his little apartment.
And we get a reminder of that this is a flashback conversation, but it's a really crappy panel. It's just Cyborg's chest plate.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. That is not a great flashback panel there.
No, flash forward or flash now, whatever. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yes. And then we learn, though, that when Will left the army lab there, someone had stolen his prototype, so
yeah,
that's a bummer.
This, by the way, was my favorite part.
Yeah, me too.
I always liked the villain that's coming up here. Mm-hmm. Or I guess it's not really a villain, but this bad character, destruction character.
I would consider it a Godzilla type monster.
Yes, and I like his origin here. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, we see someone in like a hazmat suit who has got one of their own responsometers, and mm-hmm. he drops it into a big, AIM. Pardon me?
Yeah, it does kind of look like an AIM. That's AIM right. Agent, doesn't it?
He drops the responsometer into this big vat of hazardous waste, and it just sizzles and bubbles, and we'll get back to that shortly.
Yeah.
And then we go to Will's apartment, and I am such a dope because that first panel, it's so obvious.
Yeah.
That metal men are all there, and I totally didn't clue in until the bottom of the page. I'm just
The first thing I thought was like, why does he need two refrigerators?
Me too.
And then it's like, oh, wait a minute.
Anyway, clearly the metal men have run away, and they've run away to Will's home where they've turned themselves into refrigerators and art and chairs and waste bins, and that's when Will finally realizes that the metal men have come to live with them because they didn't really have any place else to go, and he reassures them that he's not going to turn them in.
I don't know if just interrupt you for a second. I don't know if you noticed that what Mercury said. Thank Asimov for small mercies. He's the one that came up with the three laws.
That's awesome. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the three laws of robotics.
Which were what?
No robot should harm a human through indirectly or through inaction. Oh, wait. Oh, crap. You would ask me that. It's been a while. I used to read that all the time.
It's definitely something about don't harm a human. Don't allow a human to come to harm through inaction.
Yeah, don't let yourself be.
And a robot may not injure a human being or through inaction allow a human being to come to harm. A robot must obey the orders given to it by human beings except where such orders would conflict with the first law. And a robot must protect its own existence as long as such protection does not conflict with the first or second law.
Yep.
Yeah, so I think they've got at least two of those. They don't have the "we're going to obey you."
Yeah,
yeah, they don't have that at all. That's for sure.
But the other two are in there for sure. And they tell Will, you know, we're here, but we only want a chance to prove we're worth something. And they think, you know, they've done something wrong because that's why they've been, you know, that's why they're on the run. Something's wrong with them. And Tina says, you know, after you fix us, they're going to send us on missions. You don't want that, really, do you? And he says, no, of course not. Let me explain. Not that I should have to explain myself to you, but there's nothing wrong with you. It's me. It's people. And he can't get any further because at that point, Chemo comes bursting through the apartment. And it's a pretty good he's always got a good visual. Like, you can't really go wrong with his visual, and this is pretty cool. I like the big green bubbling.
I don't think they ever named it, though, did they?
In this issue?
No, but yeah, the people that have never seen that before might not know its name, but that's what they used to call it, was Chemo, and they really didn't give it an origin, as far as I know. I'd have to look it up, but anyway, go ahead.
I don't remember. I read the showcase black and white versions, and he popped up, but I don't remember what his origins were.
Was he originally a Metal Man villain?
No, never.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Was he?
Yep, oh. Yep. He was. That was his. They were his. They. He was there. One of the villains for sure. Yep.
Huh. And again, villain is an odd word to use for this character, but because, you know, Chris, you're right. He is more just a force of just of nature or destruction or whatever, not really out to cause evil.
Well, yeah, you're right. Kimmel debuted in a story called The Deathless Doom in Showcase number 39 through 40. July, August, and September, October of 1962 being the adversary for DC Comics' new super team, the Metal Men. Huh, I didn't know that.
There you go.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. So here the Metal Men zoom out into action to save all the people that are going to be by Mr. Kimo, and they figure the only way to really stop him is to neutralize the threat, and they're going to do that by just putting themselves inside of Kimo. I'm not really sure how that fixes the problem, but it does. Again, comic book science, don't question it too much.
Yeah, we are talking about artificially intelligent robots here, after all.
That's right. They go diving in, and all the metals kind of mix inside of Kimo, and the metals fuse with the toxins and render them inert, and there's a reaction and a big explosion, and then all the metal men are gone, and Kimo's gone, and Will says, that's the problem. They didn't want to enslave us. They just wanted to be like us. That's why they were destroyed. They were a failure because they wanted to be like people instead of like robots. And Cyborg says they weren't a failure. We know their responsometers are still humming away here. Mm-hmm. Their bodies may have been dissolved, but their minds and their hearts are still here. And the truth is, you don't want to lose them again. And poor old Will has tears streaming down his face and says, I just can't go through that again. But of course, a page later, he's totally going to go through that again because he wants to save everybody. And there you go. That's the Metal Man.
Yeah. A great meta moment right here. He says, rule number one, let's go save everyone we can.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yep. I like that.
Which, of course, was the first World Robotics.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Save them all.
I liked it. It was kind of a cheery book from Geoff Johns, which yes.
Which is a
between.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A slight, very large contrast from the next issue.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. But I liked it. You weren't thrilled with it there, Caleb?
I was not. I mean, it wasn't bad. It didn't feel new. It didn't feel like there was anything new about it, which I would think with the New 52, there should have been some twist. The Kimo twist was cool about how he came to be, that he was actually, and I don't, you can correct me if I'm wrong in this, but I don't know if he was ever a Will Magnus creation back in the day.
What?
I want to say,
I'm looking up.
I think he was connected somehow.
Okay, well.
But, again.
Were you talking, was Kimo, you mean?
Yeah. I don't know.
No, it just, the thing I read about him just said he was a consistent adversary to them, but his he was originally the nickname given to a plastic vessel used by scientist Ramsey Norton to contain the chemical byproducts from his failed experiments. When Norton places the remnants of a failed growth formula in the vessel, it accidentally brings the man-shaped vessel to life. And it killed him, and then it went on a rampage.
I prefer this origin.
I do too.
I don't know. I don't know. I just expected something more, and it felt Geoff Johns-y or
yeah. There wasn't really a surprise to it at all. It was
no.
If you used to know the Metal Men, this is pretty much them. We've updated them, but there's no big change.
It was a 5-page story done in 22, as well.
Well, yeah.
Which, yeah, I mean, I guess so. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's better than what he did with Shazam.
Oh, no, I know. I mean, yeah, that was a year and a half of 10-page stories. I get that, yeah. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I've read worse. I just wasn't, you know, this is not going to go in the, got to read it 5 more times pile.
No, no. I just liked it better than the Forever Evil one.
Oh, well.
Mostly because of the whole thing with Nightwing. And I think anybody that's listened to this podcast, and I'm sure you guys know, that's one of my favorite characters. And but unfortunately, Nightwing ages Batman somewhat. So I don't know if they're gonna actually they're gonna kill off him or not. But my biggest problem, which we'll get to it towards the end with this, is Batman acting out of character towards the end. But we'll get to that. I can do this one.
Okay.
And it shows a picture Nightwing all beaten up and in chain, well, ropes.
Look, give me a second to catch up here. You're
all right.
You're 10 steps ahead of me here.
Sorry.
As always.
Well, I'm actually prepared this time. Usually, it's been half-assed, and you know, like last week was really bad. I hadn't done anything for it. But this one, I've actually been sitting here for about an hour, boning up on everything. So.
Hey. Okay,
sorry. Just stay.
So, are we ready?
Yeah.
All right. On the cover, it says Nightwing's Last Stand, which I don't think he was actually standing through the whole issue, but that's semantics, sir.
whatever.
Yeah. Then we got some, dialogue, internal dialogue, which I'm still teaching my nephews. The last thing from Luthor, he's going on about he never expected to, alongside Superman to save the world, and he says this is second to last, and he's talking about working with Batman. Oh, pardon me. And then they're talking back and forth. The satellites crashed. They're at Happy Harbor, Rhode Island, and for longtime fans of Justice League, that's where the first headquarters was, in a cave in Happy Harbor, Rhode Island. The most up-to-date headquarters, the satellite, has crashed there, as we remember from the first Forever Evil. So they're going back and forth, and he says couldn't boom tube any closer because of the sensors. And he goes on, Luthor says, I'm tired of it being always right. And Batman's like, what are you talking about? And this is kind of interesting. This kind of gives you his view on why he's faced Superman so many times. And he says, the fact is, Batman, there wasn't a single occurrence of metahuman violence or extraterrestrial or interdimensional incursion until you all showed up. Then, when we need you most, your league was infiltrated and manipulated into unleashing these... Sorry, my dentures are slipping. These malevolent doppelgangers from beyond. You failed to stop yourselves on every metaphorical and literal level. Wow, whatever. And which is why we're going to have to do it. Pardon me. So, see a wider shot, and then there's their ragtag band of renegades there. Deathstroke, Black Manta, which, I'm kind of liking the I-beams from his helmet. This is me. You got Captain Cold, you got Bizarro, or B-O, B-Zero, Black Adam, you got Catwoman, which I'm sure is not liking the rain right now in that skin-tight leather outfit. Anyway, they go back and forth, and they're arguing, blah, blah, blah. It's basically who's smarter than the next person. Luthor's thinking to himself he probably shouldn't be aggravating Batman, but it's just so easy. So next thing you see, we switch off to the crime syndicate, and they are discussing the crack in the sky that has appeared around York, Maine, which sounds like two states, but it's not. And they're saying, Johnny Quick saying, it looks like the sky is bleeding. It's coming. Ultraman saying.
And then we have Rory and Amy standing there.
Yeah, they're just back and forth. And they're talking about how the ring has sent the multidimensional signal looking for another host. And it shows it for a second, and it seems to have found a host. They're talking about seal this crack in the sky. And they need to destroy the ring before it does something. And Ultraman asks Deathstorm if he can heal the crack. And he says, I'd have to absorb an inordinate amount of life energy to attempt something as complicated as that. But yes, providing this is our Destructor's only attempt at breaking through the multiverse, I can heal this dimensional incision. Well, that's pretty powerful right there, man.
He loves drawing Deathstorm.
I mean, yeah, that is a cool character, I have to say. About that time, the Outsider gives a call to Owlman. He's pretty much saying, hey, you need to get back to the Watchtower, which he keeps doing that ha thing, and it bugs the crap out of me. Anyway, he's saying Grid apparently has taken extra measures to secure Nightwing under orders of Ultraman. Now, I don't know if anybody – I didn't catch this the first time. You see a yellow bubble thing kind of going across the water. I didn't notice the first time, and, you know, it's Sinestro putting a bubble around him. But if you look real close, it's the League of Doom's headquarters.
Oh, my God, look at that.
And I'm looking at it in widescreen, so that's probably why I didn't catch it before.
Wow.
Did you really notice it in the next panel? When the bubble is disappearing and you see the base, and then when I looked back up, oh my God, that's the Legion of Doom's headquarters. I thought that was pretty cool. So anyway, they're sneaking up.
Little Slaughter Swamp.
And Bizarro saying, one home. And they're chattering back and forth. Ultraman wouldn't run.
No. You've got to go back a panel. One of the best exchanges in the whole book, where Captain Cold says, "Since when did your monsters start talking, Luthor?" And in the category of things that
matter, if the crime syndicate is not here, where are they?
I like Deathstroke's judge. Just like, really, who gives a crap he's talking?
Maybe after Sinestro whacked their wannabe lantern, the syndicate got spooked and took off. And then Black Lightning, totally different character. Black Adam is mumbles, Ultraman wouldn't run. Ultraman would not run, Sinestro says. Curious how emotionally reversed their powering was to Hal Jordan in every way. Yet their Superman seems as driven as a Kryptonian you spend your life chasing, Luthor. Oh, I like that one. He says, I don't chase Superman, Sinestro. Your perception of me is mistaken. He says, never. Ring, locate vibrational anomalies, specify the syndicate members. So it's search. And they found of them, and they're about 142 miles north, two located in a structure ahead. But anyway, so they're talking back and forth. And Batman reveals there's a manual shutoff to the security systems he put in, which is Luthor questions. It's like you thought you were going to take the Justice League on yourself one day. And in between that, you see the exchange between Grid and the Outsider, Ultraman, where he says Ultraman wanted me to make sure Richard Grayson was unharmed, but he wanted him secured by a simple lock and chain. And that's they slowly make their way in, and Grid's saying that he found an inescapable device from Apocalypse technology, and it's called the Murder Machine. And about that time, that's when Batman and the rest of Luthor Zoo crew walk in to this, and they see Richard Grayson shirtless, and I imagine probably naked as well, just because that's just how, you know, odd they get sometimes. No hidden tools or anything. And he's hooked up to this device, and his hands are bound, and you can see his chest barely, and some of his arms, but the rest of him is being suspended above the floor. And that's when Grid and Outsider realizes that Watchtower's been infiltrated. They call he calls Owlman. He's saying, "Hey, you need to get Nightwing safe until I get there. We'll deal with Ultraman later." Then Outsider's trying to remind him about the prisoner. He says, "I don't care about your prisoner, Alfred. And if he's somehow free, protect Richard Grayson," he's telling him. He says, "I'm going to disobey you this time. You have already lost nearly everything, Thomas. If he gets loose, you'll lose your life, too." Well, about that time, you see Black Manta grab him and pardon me, and the brutality we've been missing for a while. Oh man, I'm still clearing up myself, and you see Black Manta punch and shiv Outsider several times. He's got blood.
He kicks him.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting. I think that's like a hollow kind of stabbing sound, maybe. That knife doesn't look too, I don't know, maybe it's because...
The last time I stabbed someone, it sounded nothing like that.
Yeah, you know, me too. Anyway, you can tell Cold is not that kind of criminal. He's kind of taken back by that.
He looks like a goof without his hood.
Yeah,
he does. Just gotta say.
He needs to put the back on. But he's saying they all die. Well, yeah, well, we'll get them all, Manta, but is that one of them? And they're talking about the guy all hooded up and everything.
Now, who was it that wanted the hooded figure to come with them? Was that Ultraman? Or was it...
It was Ultraman is the one that brought him, yeah.
Ultraman wants the hooded figure.
And... Yeah, he wanted him, and then Owlman wanted... Grayson, and each one of them said, well, if that one dies, then I'll kill this other guy. So, yeah.
Okie dokie.
Oh, man. So sorry. About that time, you see Batman's talking to Mr. Grayson. He's saying, I'm sorry I shut you out, all of you. Didn't want you getting hurt, which, I don't know. I thought they fixed that before pre-52, but whatever.
I think it got broken again during Death in the Family.
Death in the Family, yeah, I agree. He's telling him you need to leave, and he's whispering for some reason. I don't know why, but whatever, because everybody's there. And about that time, the door closes down. Boom! Take a drink. I need one.
And they're all trapped.
They're all trapped. 5-minute countdown. Luther's saying this isn't just a fancy pair of handcuffs, Catwoman, you know, because he knows that she's into that kind of thing. The Sinestro's ring is telling him, warning, unstable nuclear energy source directly below. And he's like, what are you talking about? Terrestrial metahuman known as Firestorm. So what's he doing here? Warning, intimate threat, 6 abnormal vibrational frequencies, readings rapidly approaching.
Yes, the ring is just kind of saying, remember that subplot of a Firestorm? It's still burning away in the background there, and we'll get to it next issue.
I thought he was somewhere else.
Yeah, I thought so, because I've been reading Justice League America, and I didn't
think
it was in Happy Harbor, but whatever.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that either. It might have been, maybe they just moved him there or something. Because I think when I used the story arc thing... that some of that was supposed to take place after this, because, I mean, they're way out of publishing order.
Boy, that's so helpful. I mean, sorry. That's what happens when you stretch something over 7 months.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the way, yeah, and they only go so far in the app, but if you, find, like, one of the issues, the Forever Evil ones, and it'll say, okay, next one in the storyline is this one. And I think it came out, Justice League... the last Justice League of America one came out, according to the app anyway, it was supposed to take place after this.
I'm sorry, can I sure. Take a step sideways with that? There's an app for following the storyline?
Yeah, on my, they have storylines listed in the app, at least on the Android device.
Oh, I see, like you go into Comixology, you go into Comixology. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, sorry. I was like, I thought there was its own app.
No.
that someone had created for following comic book storylines.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. No one listened to that. I think we've got $1 million right here.
Yeah.
There we go.
But yeah. So about that time, it's clobbering time, and the syndicate crashes in. Honey, we're home. Which I'm really tired of Johnny Quick, and I'm glad. What happens hit to him.
I thought we get a big crack-oom.
No, there wasn't any crack-oom. Might get a Shazam coming up. Oh, wait, never mind.
Sorry.
Johnny, Atomica, I can hear others inside. And we're on it, Ultra Bro. Oh, God, I hate that character. So, anyway. I love it. Just haven't coughed all day, and I have a coughing fit right in the middle. Sinestro starts to throw down on Ultraman. But, you know, Black Adam says, I want Ultraman. Because his jaw's still broke. And then you get your crack-a-coon. Not just a crack-coon, but a crack-a-coon. That's even better. That's two drinks. Superwoman says, relax now, Ringwielder. Submit your will to me. Yes, we will see about that, which I thought is the one person she attacks has the most will, I thought. That's pretty cool. Owlman's taken off, and Deathstorm mentions it. And he's like, Owlman, where are you going? So, okay, back to Batman and the rest. B-Zero and Luthor are trying to break through the walls. They can't.
And does that make sure the Professor and Catwoman marry in?
Yeah, you know, it kind of does, doesn't it? Batman tells him this cell was designed to hold Doomsday, Luthor. Then why isn't he in there? Anyway.
Superman Wonder Woman.
Yeah, he is right now, isn't he? He's working on a thing. And the countdown's monitoring his heart. Then he realized that the detonator's hooked into it. It only is disarmed if my heart stops. Apparently, we'll find that out in a minute. That he pulls, you know, he disables wires and it just goes back in. Well, it's from Apocalypse, so you know, it's probably alive like the mother box. I die or we all die was the thing. So they're talking. Like, who is this guy? They take the mask off and it's a guy, red hair. Blue eyes, not green, which people might remember that from Infinite Crisis, I don't know. And he's got tape over his mouth, and he's like, I think he's trying to tell us. And he's about to take the tape off, and then Johnny Quick comes in, don't touch. Look, they killed the outsider. Black Man is, I did, and he hits with I-beams, which are really good.
Now, is this the first time they've named Alfred the Outsider in the series?
I believe so. They might have. I think so.
Okay.
I'd have to double check, but I'm pretty sure. Atomica's going, who the hell are you, bad helmet man? And that was rhetorical. I thought that was kind of a dumb statement. Back to, okay, and this is where I'm starting to get aggravated. With the whole, you know, he's sitting there. You still have time to get out of here. And he's like, I'm not leaving you, Dick. I am not abandoning you. You aren't Bruce, and you never have. And
I can't quit you, man.
Yeah, I know. It's the only way we're getting out of here is together. No, which, you know, that is Batman, but it's this part coming up here. There's only one way to disarm this bomb, Batman. And then, you know, Luthor shoots him in the back, Batman in the back. Catwoman's like, what the hell are you doing? She gets your whip out, but, you know, B-Zero stops it.
Because that's the only way she can fight is with her whip. She has no other fighting techniques, apparently.
Yeah, all of a sudden.
Sorry, I just that's a stickler for me. He grabs the whip, so she should be letting go and
going. Yeah, he's just like laying it. Maybe it's some kind of subservient thing. I don't know. I know. I went there. It's that leather outfit. It does, you know, makes me say bad things. Anyway. Okay, and this is where I started having a problem. Batman is trained as an escape artist, at least he was, in previous incarnations. You know that he's got some ancient way taught to him by a Tibetan guru, Ananda Parbat, on how to stop his heart. And pretend like he's dead. I mean, how many times has Batman... Hell, he even did that in the damn cheesy Adam West cartoon show. And you know he's taught that to Grayson. And so what does Luthor... He goes up and puts his hand over his mouth and he's trying to suffocate him. Okay? Okay, fine. There's that. Okay, back to the battle. And this was kind of an interesting little detail. Atomica's trying to get into Black Manta's outfit and do her you know, explode from the inside thing. And apparently, Black Manta's suit is watertight even on a microscopic level. It's completely sealed. I thought that was kind of odd. So, you know, he's trying to... there must be a tear or a pinhole in there somewhere. You find it, you always do. And he's talking to Captain Cold. He's got his cold gun. And he's telling how he killed his counterpart on his world. You were a cop. He's like, oh, yeah, I thought, though you didn't have a lame-ass freeze gun, it's not a freeze gun. It's a cold gun. Same difference. No, it's not. A lot of guys shoot ice, but I don't freeze things. I eliminate movement altogether. I stop Adams Cold. Here's this, you know, Luthor made a comment about his only high school education. And he's saying, I'm the man who mastered absolute zero, which absolutely doesn't matter if you don't have your finger on a trigger. And then he's smart enough, this part here, he goes, nah. And then he says, jingle bells, Batman smells. And apparently that activates a voice-activated trigger. And Johnny Quick ends up shooting himself in the leg and freezes himself. And then about that time, he says, you think that hurts? And then he kicks, kicks his leg and shatters it. He says, wait till it thaws out. And I like this, one of the things he says here. See, the Flash and I got mutual respect. That's the difference between you and him, besides having two legs. So, anyway, Tonka freaks out. And that was cool. I'm sorry it was.
Now, explain to me why she has goggles, which she never wears. I'm just...
It's one of those fashion statement things. You see that all.
She probably puts them on when she shrinks down into the bloodstream and she doesn't want to get... Blood in her eyeballs.
Okay.
Okay.
And, you know, liquid, gooey gunk. Which doesn't explain why she doesn't have, like, a mask over her mouth, but maybe... Either way, you don't want your eyes to be filled with, like, bloody viscous fluid. Blah.
Yeah, that would be kind of hard. So anyway, Luthor's holding on to his, you know, face, Dick Grayson's face, and Batman's hollering at him, you know, Luthor, blah, blah, and about that time he puts on the kryptonite ring because B-Zero using his reverse flash breath, cold breath, which is fire in this case. Then he starts beating, you know, telling Luthor, you hurt him and I will kill you, which, okay, one, that, which he's almost done, but Batman doesn't kill. Now, he might say that in this case, but anyway. Then we're back to the red-haired with the beard. Look at him, Atomica, your precious speed demon. He'll never run again. You took the tape off of him. Are you insane? Put it back on. Shut him up. When do you define Ultraman? And you see Ultraman and Black Adam. Well, what you think? Because, you know, in David Finch style, there's two squiggles fighting in the lightning. You know, Luthor's holding on to his... It's the only way to save us, Batman, which Batman should know that. He could have given him some kind of, you know, drug concoction out of his utility belt that made him... You know, look like he's dead, you know, stop his heart long enough to disarm the bomb. I mean, come on. Oh, and in the last panel, you see the word Shazam backwards. Mazahash. I don't know. It's some Indian food, I guess. You'll see him all eating it at the end of issue 7.
He's got good teeth for a guy who's been under a bag for.
Yeah, you know, he does kind of.
For months.
Yeah. Maybe the heroes on Earth 3 have a good dental plan.
Obamacare was instituted much earlier. Maybe perhaps it's from Canada. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, you know, that's a very, very good question. So then you see Krakakoom. Oh, wow, that's a big one. That's like a whole drink right there. That's a six pack. And about that time, it's 3 seconds left, and you're and Batman's going dick, and with question mark exclamation point, and then the Dark Lightning, Ultraman says, and then Krakakoom again. And you see the lightning hitting somebody. He's free. The prisoner is free. And then there's my favorite sound effect in comics. Aye. don't know why. That's just funny. So then Batman's like grabs him. You know, well, his heart stopped, of course. Nightwing's heart stopped. Batman jumps him, and he starts beating the shit out of him. About that time, you see, which is a really good shot, if you see these shards of a couple panels down, Johnny Quick's leg and ice sparkles there. Atomica, baby, I'm going to get us out of here fast. And you assume it's the redhead. He's saying, oh, Johnny boy. Johnny, oh, Johnny. Okay, start again. Oh, Johnny, Johnny, my boy. And you see, you know, Dick Grayson's head's laying there, and there's no heartbeat. You're not going anywhere. He's like, Papa, please. And, yeah, Batman's beating the crap out of him.
Batman, wait.
You know, Batman's going, you murderer. See, that's just ridiculous. And then one of my favorite parts, whatever that thing is that said Shazam backwards, snaps Johnny Quick's neck. No more running, Johnny, you evil boy. And Luthor's going, I have this under control, Grayson. And then you see a couple panels after that says, there's still time, there's still time. Yeah, so it's, you know, Batman should know this. I mean, come on. I'm sorry. I just totally think that's BS. So anyway, back to, you know, redheaded beard guy. He says, your life is over and your powers is mine. So he reaches out and does some kind of crackly lightning thing, and apparently he steals his powers. And he says, like so many of the syndicate members before you, Captain Cold says, who are you? And then Luthor says, it's not too late, you idiot. And then the redheaded bearded guy says, you idiots. Then you see him, I'm going to kill every single one of you. And Alexander Luthor shall be the most powerful hero your world has ever seen. And then you see him, and he's in the Shazam outfit.
Almost, except the lightning bolt looks like an L, which is kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, I didn't notice that. Good call.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that's like an outfit and not... no, it'd have to be built on magic. So he's like the hero, just like in Crisis before. And, of course, you see the corpse of Johnny Quick right under him. I missed that before. That does look like an L. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. And then there's the end of it.
I heard that Atomica will not be gone after this story.
Hmm?
Yeah.
I have a fear that Atomica will be with us for some time to come.
Oh, you think so? Think she's going to be a recurring character?
I do. She's not dead. She's not dead, so...
Yeah. Well, not yet, but yeah.
Well.
We got a whole issue to go.
Yeah. So, thoughts?
I liked the reveal.
I did, too. I was actually... because the first thing I thought, oh, that's Alexander Luthor, but why are they so scared of him? And then throwing that in the Shazam thing, you know, that was a nice stroke, I thought.
Yeah, because they had to find a way to surprise us. They had to, they couldn't just make the character under the hood be nobody we'd heard of before, and they couldn't make it someone insignificant to the DC universe. Like, it had to be... It had to be someone that mattered.
Mm-hmm.
And really, in Earth 3, we've seen everybody except Alexander Luthor. So for people that were thinking it was Alexander Luthor, he managed to throw, like, twist it just a little bit, so it was still kind of surprising. So even if you guessed that it was going to be Alexander Luthor, you probably didn't guess that he was going to have the Shazam powers. So that was – I thought that was a good twist on our expectations.
Yeah, and it's even the heroes are twisted.
Yeah, he does look like he's going to be a pretty nasty dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it should be interesting to see that.
I will be curious to see how... I mean, I don't know if we're going to get the story. Maybe we will in the next issue of Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
Is how they subdued him the first time. Because clearly they are all terrified of him, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so why keep him alive and why bring him along?
Yeah, I don't get that either. Why would they bring him like that? I mean, they caught him obviously in his un-Mashama form.
In his Billy Batson-ish.
Yes, the Billy Batson... part obviously, and they kept him doped up with ketamine, and of course they got him tied up and the thing on his face.
Unless they were worried that he would be taken by whichever force was destroying their world and then
used against them,
so maybe you bring it along to prevent.
And I'd have to look back. Maybe Ultraman thought he would be something they could throw at their big bad from why they left and while they escaped or something. It seems like that was mentioned.
Well, I'm now curious about who the big bad is, because it's clearly not Apocalypse. Or not Apocalypse, excuse me. Darkseid.
I don't know. I don't think so.
The thing that Grid said about... Grid is not from Earth 3, so never mind. I was about to make a comment about him bringing info from Earth 3, but he's not an Earth 3 character. He's actually...
He was hacking into their stuff.
Yeah.
That comm device. And the fact that Superwoman's data was gone, and she keeps looking... They made that look at Owlman when he got that call from Alpha, like she knew... Which she probably talked Ultraman into doing that to Nightwing. Because remember, she kind of turned it around when he left. She was like, well, he was talking to, Dick Grayson.
Yeah, she's been working both of them the whole time.
Yeah, her story is definitely not over. I mean, we got an origin for everybody else except her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty sure John's at the end of it somehow.
Yeah, he's got plans for her. We'll see her definitely, I think, after Forever Evil somewhere.
Oh, you remember? Okay, the first appearance of Earth 3 Luthor, he was married to the Earth 3 Lois Lane, right?
That's right.
And Superwoman is Lois Lane. In this version. This version. Mm-hmm. So could it be possible that she's a Shazammed out Lois Lane?
Hmm. That's very possible.
I forgot about that. So there could be some connection between them. Which maybe we'll get next issue.
She's playing all the angles, isn't she?
Yes.
Is there another Justice League issue? There must be. There's another Justice League before Forever Evil.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I thought we got the origin of Syndicate at some point.
Yeah. Was there a... There wasn't a timeline of when things came out this time, was there?
Yeah, I think there was.
Okay, it just wasn't in the thing I was looking at.
It was not at the end, I don't think. It's a house ad, I think, called After Forever or After Evil or something. Hmm.
Now, you've all changed your Comixology passwords, right?
No, mine still works just fine.
You know what? There are no more issues of Justice League, Justice League Dark, or Justice League of America that tie into Forever Evil. In March, we get Forever Evil 7, Arkham War 6, which we've already gotten, Rogue's Rebellion 6, and Argus 6.
Yeah.
But tie-ins... ended with Justice League's 26, Justice League Dark 26, and Justice League America 10.
Mm. Well, see, this poster here on inside the book has those, and then it also includes Justice League 29, Justice League of America 13, and Suicide Squad 29.
Mm. Well, maybe there is one more. Sorry.
No, what page is that?
It's the page right after Sinestro's ring, talking about the unstable nuclear energy source directly below.
Mm. Yeah, it's not on the Comixology version.
No, you don't usually get the ads in there, right? So.
Well, they usually put that one in there for the next books.
Yeah, you would think they would, but because it's kind of listed in the middle as a house ad and not a...
Okay. Well, all right then. That's odd.
I don't remember reading any solicits for what JL 29 is supposed to be about.
Me either.
To the Google machine.
The crime syndicate couldn't kill him. but will Grid destroy him? Cyborg heads directly for the Syndicate. Hold on. Here we go. Cyborg heads directly for... Jesus. directly for the Syndicate with the Metal Men at his side, but can Vic Stone stop the cyber, his cybernetic half, and how will this battle against the most brutal and evil beings in the universe change Cyborg and the Justice League?
Yeah, if you go on even Comixology's page, and you go to the Forever Evil 6, log on to the webpage, there's a link over to the right. It says, under your genres, it says superhero, then story arc, DC the New 52 Forever Evil. You click on that, and it gives you all of them, and I assume that's supposed to be the reading order. So, in that case, Forever Evil number 6, the Justice League issue that we just read is supposed to take place after that, as well as Justice League of America 12 and all the Forever Evil tie-ins, and Suicide Squad number 28, if that's how they're listing it.
All right. Well,
ta-da. Yeah, see, and if you look at 5... They have the next one after it is Forever Evil Argus number 4, Forever Evil Arkham War number 4, and then Justice League number 27, and then Justice League number 11. I have to go on here. I'm going to send you the link. I'm on two different computers here.
Clickety-clickety-clickety-click-click-click.
Boom, there it is. And, yeah, here we go. Story arcs. Okay. There we go. So, anyway, I don't think it really matters, because I've been following that, but I don't think it really matters. Because I'll end up getting... Because, well, they don't come out in that order, so you can't really read them in that order. All those other issues that they're saying come after that have been out for a while. Justice League came out a week before Forever Evil number 6. So... And so Justice League before that, even. Anyway. So there you go.
All right.
I like that issue. I enjoyed it. It was... there were some great character moments. I've always been a big fan of the Legion of Doom.
Yeah. Besides the bad characterization of what I consider bad characterization of Batman, I liked it too.
See, I didn't think it was that far off from the new characterization of Batman. I mean, we have seen a more emotional and emotionally tied Batman over the last couple of years.
Yeah, that's true, but I think he would have figured out how to do what Luthor did just as easily as Luthor did, and not by holding his hand over his face.
I don't think he would have freaked out as quickly. I think he would have said, okay, it's hard to stop, let's get him the hell out of the machine, stat, get the paddles on him or whatever. But
yeah, exactly. Instead, he's over there beating the hell out of Luthor.
Yeah, that part I agree with.
Yeah, it's just not, that's not cool.
But I liked the Legion of Doom moments. I liked the Captain Cold moment an awful lot.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Geoff Johns, of course, is a well-known fan of the character, so he's
Well, yeah, he made that, he did Flash for a long time and made that character great.
Yes.
He did several one-shot stories with him.
Yep.
Back in his run. I need to get those omnibuses. I can find him cheap. Hopefully I can get him in the convention next week.
What? So, convention?
Yes, I'm going to Planet Comic Con. I was telling you guys earlier, I had missed it somehow, but Terry Moore's going to be there too, so as well as B. Claymore, so I'm going to get at least one of the Sandman omnibuses signed by both of them. We're going to try.
I gotta back him. Why do you need B. Clay Moore's signature in a Sandman omnibus?
Let me finish.
Okay.
You remember the second JSA Liberty Files thing that they put out, the whistling skull?
Yes.
he did that with Tony Moore as well. So I got the trade of that just the other day. So I will bring that and have B. Clay Moore and Tony Moore sign it. They use the same artist. He might have done the first JSA Liberty Files as well. I don't know.
But that's, again, what does that have to do with Sandman?
James Robinson's going to be there.
What does James Robinson have to do with Sandman?
He wrote the book, man.
He did not.
Yes, he did.
Did not.
Who wrote Sandman then?
Neil Gaiman.
No, he did not. Oh, wait a minute. Not Sandman. Starman.
Whoa. I was wondering how long it was going to take to get
did
there.
Did I write Sandman the other day when I was telling you guys?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, well, no wonder you guys were saying that. I meant Starman.
I was like, when is he going to get there? Is he ever going to...
I missed it last night. I was out there. I was in bad shape the last couple of days. my bad. Now I understand. Whoa.
Hello.
I think, yeah, he just lost his battery. Caleb did.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, he just said that his battery, he's got 10 more minutes. It might have died on him early.
Okie dokie.
Well, let's see. We'll start wrapping this up in case he doesn't come back. Hold on a second. Oh, yeah, Phil Hester's going to be there. Got to get his signature on some stuff. Yeah, you there, Caleb? Caleb.
Oh, okay. I bet we lost.
Yeah. Oh.
He's dead.
He's dead. Is Caleb dead? Okay, we think Caleb's battery on his phone died, or whatever device he was using, because he sent a texty thing through Skype saying that was going to happen. So we'll go ahead and end this thing. And as always, you can send an email to podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com and let us know what you think. Or you can join us on the Facebook page. Search for Tales from the Longbox Podcast. And yeah, I think he's messaging us on Facebook as we speak.
Excellent.
Hold on, let's find out what he says. Okay. He said,
goodbye, baby cakes. Catch you later.
All right. So anyway, yeah, his computer died. Battery on the computer. So anyway, we're going to finish this up. Facebook page said that. You can do comments on the actual webpage and all that good stuff. And next week I will be at Planet Comic Con. I'll probably be... I got me a nice little voice recorder and record stuff driving up there. And hopefully I can get some little mini interviews with some of the writers and artists and everything else. And we'll go from there. Anyway, we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We are out.